This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady's in the gun. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in Kansas City to take on the Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
Patriots trailing by three. Sets up with a throw to the right side. Catch made by Edelman. Prince to the end zone. Oh! And he runs it past the five. He dives to the end zone! Touchdown! And the lead for the Patriots!
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Good evening and welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. I'm Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart with you for the next couple of hours as we get ready for Monday Night Football. The Patriots are in KC. We are inside Gillette Stadium, coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios. What was that, Paul?
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you now.
Can now?
Well, my mic was on.
Sure,
I think
it was.
Junior, yeah, see? Thank you.
He just gave a little wave.
What's the yelling all
I can about? Smell the barbecue. We're not, we're tailgating. It's Kansas City. Get it? Barbecue, Kansas
yeah,
City.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
That's the one drop. This is like the one time that I kind of, little, maybe kind of, sort of, wouldn't mind being there.
You know they get back at 5 a.m. Right?
Yeah, then it would have just gone away really quickly.
Now that you're not interested
That would have passed.
But you're interested in the ribs. Patriots are in KC. It's going to be a loud environment there tonight. Arrowhead Stadium is just one of the, you know, one of the last legendary stadiums left in the league, right? Between like that and Green Bay.
And sticking. Because they did a whole, you know,
some renovations,
millions
there.
Of dollar overhaul. So yeah, there are no plans to get rid of that. And I don't know if you saw Darren Revelle. I retweeted it. The actual machine they're going to use to measure the noise tonight.
Yeah, a little decibel meter tonight. They're going to be trying to break the world record for noise at an outdoor stadium. They had the record for quite some time. It was then taken away by the 12th man in Seattle, and tonight they are looking to get it back.
Handing out earplugs to people at the gates to protect their ears while they're making all that noise, jet engine-like noise at takeoff.
At takeoff.
The good news is Patriots will be starting two rookie offensive linemen.
Well, I think that's probably the biggest story
reportedly
to come out today, is that the report that the Patriots will start both Cameron Fleming at right guard tonight and also Brian Stork at center. Two rookies on the offensive line that will get the start in this game tonight. Especially with one of them being at center, where with all this noise, there is always the communication issues that you could potentially have. Now you're throwing two rookies into that fire to start tonight's game. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I absolutely love it. I think they needed to do some sort of shake up there. They needed to make a move. They needed to do something different than what they've been doing. And personally, I like the move. I think Stork has looked good in his limited opportunities. I think Fleming has looked good when they put him into games. I like this move a lot.
Yeah, I don't love it. And I certainly don't love the timing of two rookies at Arrowhead. Paul and I actually talked about this earlier in the week, not so much for Fleming because we didn't really see that necessarily coming.
I didn't see that one.
We were talking about Stork and would you start him, make his first NFL start. And I think the phenomenon of Stork is hilarious. He literally is a backup quarterback. He has seen mop-up duty. People seem to like what they have seen in mop-up duty. They want him to be the starter. They think he's going to cure basically all that ails the offense because it all starts up front, and if he fixes the offensive line, then the offense will be fine. It's a lot of pressure for a, you know, fourth-round rookie center.
Yeah, Andy and I did talk about this, Beetle, late last week. I'm not as concerned about the communication in the hostile environment as some others are. Now, I'm not dismissing it. I think Arrowhead is a legit home field advantage. I think when the Chiefs are playing well, that's a tough place to play. But, listen, Brian Stork played at Florida State. He's played in some loud, crazy stadiums, you know, where football, college football, is a religion and much different than it is for us around here. So I'm not as worried about that part of it, but I am worried about having two new guys, you know, together. I agree with you, Beetle. They needed to do something, and this is probably as good a step as any. But I don't think it's ideal to have two rookies on the road on Monday night, but I can understand why the move was made, because what they were doing simply wasn't working, and you need to try something different when that's the case.
But these weren't the only moves. You know, there are certainly other options. Josh Klein was a guy that they seemed to like until whatever point they stopped liking him. Ryan Wendell is now off the injury report.
Wendell is interesting, yeah.
I mean, you could, if you wanted, even if you wanted to change it up dramatically, you could have had Klein come in, Wendell come in, and move Conley. Instead, you've brought in Stork and Fleming. Fleming, a guy who's actually seen very few reps at guard. You know, career right tackle at Stanford. Saw a few reps in the summer practicing at guard, but no significant guard reps.
And you talked to his offensive coordinator about that.
Yeah, and he sort of predicted that he would play some right guard with the Patriots, knowing that he wasn't going to be a starter at right tackle immediately. Two positions. That was the other position he said he probably could play. But still, they didn't have to do this.
No.
I also think it's fascinating that shortly after Dante Scarnecchia was talking about it takes time and just relax and patience. Oh, the poop's hitting the fan. We got to throw rookies out there.
Make a move.
Making all these moves. Like, well, what about continuity and let them work through the kinks?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if they went back to Wendell tonight. And just to see. And it's not, you know, a lot of people talk about how undersized Wendell is. This, I mean, he's short. He's only like 6'2". He's a small, I mean, he's short for an offensive lineman, but he's 300 pounds. And Stork isn't that much bigger than. I think he's got a couple inches on him, but he's not that much bigger than Wendell.
He's got a beard, too.
The problem to me, you know, because Conley,
right.
I thought Conley was handling the center
it's
okay.
Intimidating.
The problem to me were the guards, and I think Cannon and Devy were really struggling. Cannon, I don't know if you guys caught, did you guys catch the Mark Schlereth stuff about Marcus Cannon?
No.
Really?
Stink?
You know, this is a guy that, you know, was a longtime offensive lineman, a pretty good one for some Super Bowl teams in Washington and Denver. He eviscerated Marcus Cannon.
Well, he hasn't been very good.
No, he hasn't. And we've talked about it on the show and on the postgame show. But he was really, really critical and said, you know, I forget how many years out he is, but right now, you know, at 51 or whatever, I could do a better job than what he's doing right now for the Patriots. I mean, he was really, really over the top critical of Cannon. I kind of agree with Beatles' sentiment. I think something needed to be done. I'm just a little surprised that they did it all at once. You know, widespread changes. I wouldn't feel much better with Klein, but Wendell has some experience. I think I would feel better with him,
well,
at least to start.
The big one, the Devy one, is the big one to me. We never saw Devy coming, and for all I know, we're never going to remember that Jordan Devy started three games to start a season. Like, I feel like he is just going to be one of those guys. Wow. You're right. He did start the first three games that
when the
year.
2014
Why did he
Patriots,
do that? Was somebody hurt? And you go, no, Bill just decided for some reason he liked him.
When the 2014 Patriots win the Super Bowl, he's going to be Jay Saylor.
Yeah, like this weird.
Started week one, and then they won the Super Bowl, and he was off the team by like week five.
I still will never really understand the Jordan Devy thing, where he came from and where he's going to go.
Well, I especially didn't understand it because I didn't think he played all that well in the preseason.
Didn't.
You know, some guys earn jobs by what they do in spring training and training camp in the NFL.
No, he wasn't good at
all. He wasn't really that good in the preseason. I didn't really see what he did to earn the job.
And I didn't think Klein sucked, because it was sort of those two guys. They were here for a year. How did Devy pass Klein? Klein kind of did the Daron Harmon thing, where Josh Klein was considered the next guy in this sort of the development program. Oh, maybe he's going to be a starter at guard. But then he never started, kind of like Harmon. Once he was the presumed starter, never really took anything from it and ran with it. I don't really understand what happened with those guys.
And now we know there's a change tonight. Maybe it's that I'm just overly excited that they have a willingness to change.
We think there's a change.
I think it proves how lame we are as a football team right now, that we're excited that a rookie right
offensive
guard
line.
And a rookie center are like the big changes.
I mean, it's kind of that theory. Well, could it get any worse, right? I mean, could it get any worse than what
we've
seen?
My point. That's how like crappy it is right
now. Yeah, no, that's – I mean, we're dealing with reality here. That's what we're doing. That's all we can do. If you want to jump on board, you want to be a part of the conversation, it's highly encouraged here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. What was that, Andy?
It's highly encouraged that you take part. We'd appreciate it if you'd give us a call.
8-5, you sound like Dale. You've been hanging around with Dale too much.
Yeah, that's his new guy.
Right?
That is new.
You guys are boys. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Send in your emails. We'll be reading those. If you're on Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag PPGS. That's for Patriots Pregame Social. PPGS. We'll be reading your tweets as they come in as well. So get involved. Talk to us about this game tonight. That's the big change, reportedly.
Want to caution reportedly, because the one that really pinpointed it was the Boston Globe. And the Boston Globe is also the one that's previously reported that Sebastian Vollmer was going to guard.
Yeah,
and that was about a month ago, and I haven't seen him at guard
yet.
And
she tweeted it very... Well,
and it's a different one, too, though.
What?
Different reporter.
Yeah, the first reporter, Ben Volen, was dead wrong on the Vollmer going to guard thing. This is...
Oh, okay. Chalice. I thought you were talking about something different. So Chalice tweeted something right after the... in between the last preseason game against the Giants and in the opener. Very matter of fact, Josh Klein will be the starting left guard. Well, we're still waiting for Josh Klein to start at left guard.
That is true.
And she did the same thing today. It was very matter of fact. This is right. What's going to happen. It's going to be Conley at left guard. It's going to be Stork at center, and it's going to be Fleming at right guard. This is the way it will be, because this is as I said.
And unless I missed something, she tweeted it.
That's the first I saw it.
Did she write it? Because then
know.
I went to look for it on Boston.com or through any of, and I couldn't find it, which always seems a little weird to me. That's news. You have news of the Patriots shaking up their starting offensive line, the offensive line that's been the topic of the week all week, and it's just going to be a flippant tweet? That's a flippant, not flipping.
No, I know.
Okay, just want to make sure.
It was a tweet. I don't know if that takes away any legitimacy from it. But
don't you think if you're the editors at the Globe and Boston.com, that's a story.
Well,
get us some clicks.
They're not like the same thing anymore.
No,
I know,
but whatever.
Well, I'm going to check. I'm going to check it out. Maybe there is a story.
If I'm an editor, I expect that information to be on my website where I can get some clicks.
Yeah, I have no problem with it being tweeted first, but there probably should be a follow-up story that we can point to and link to on our site.
Because we get nothing out of your tweets, Shalice.
I didn't look at it, so I didn't even go and check. I don't necessarily. I saw the tweet, and that's all, you know. Well, that's all the information I needed.
And others have, they haven't really reported it, but they've intimated that it could be a possibility.
Then Howe, who had reported that we're going to have a shakeup, kind of admitted that he didn't think Fleming would be part of the shakeup, but now, because of Shalice, Fleming's part of the shakeup.
So one reporter buying another reporter's report.
But I think, but Howe had something during the week that this was coming, but as he said, and he just said, not with Fleming, more with Stork.
I hope it just comes out and it's Devy.
It's Devy, Cannon, Conley.
And it's the same bag of crap they've been putting out there for the last three weeks.
Just that'll give me a laugh.
And I don't rule that out just because of how unwilling, even during the course of games, they were in the first 3 weeks to change. I mean, Stork only went in very late in the game, playing, 10 or 12 snaps. So,
I think
the offensive line.
It was 12 and then 15.
Okay, 15.
Might have been the two.
You know, The offensive line did not perform well at any point in the game against Oakland. So you would think that if this was something that was pressing to this extent, you waited it out almost a whole game with the other guys. So you wonder why that's the case. I don't know. We'll see. I think that we will see some changes tonight, but I'm not necessarily going to be stunned if we don't.
855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. We're going to get to some of your calls right out of the gate here. Andy has left us for a couple of minutes as he takes care
of
another obligation.
The studio.
And he'll be back with us in just a short time, and then we'll get to the keys to the game and whatnot.
Beto, I have a question.
Yeah, go
you.
Ahead. Go ahead.
A little off topic of what we've been talking about so far, but what do you make of Alphonso Dennard?
In what sense?
Probable, and now he's out.
See, I don't know what to think of this shoulder injury. Like, should it be something that I don't know, is going to keep him out for longer? Like, is this going to be the type of thing that needs surgery? That's what I really kind of want to know.
I just find it odd to have a guy listed as probable one day.
And everyone was expecting him to make the return.
He was probable on Friday and couldn't make the trip on Saturday. Well, actually, probable on Saturday and didn't make the trip. I don't see that. Why he couldn't make the trip on Sunday and he was probable. Like, I could count on one hand.
What happened between?
I could count on one hand the amount of guys that were listed as probable that did not play in the game.
You think he slept on it wrong or something? Like, what happened there?
I don't know.
You ever sleep on your shoulder wrong,
yeah,
Paul?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have. It hurts.
It's as good a reason as any, but I was a little confused by that. I didn't know if I missed something. Or
I mean, we don't have the exact details of what kind of shoulder injury it is.
Oh, no, and I know he's dealing. I know he had surgery in the offseason, and my guess is that he probably re-injured it in the opener. That's the last time he played. He's missed the last two. This will be the third game he misses. So he played against Miami, and my guess is that he probably, you know, he hurt it. He re-injured it.
Okay, the awkward injury report, him not making the trip situation aside, this guy's starting to have some real durability questions.
Oh, no question.
Like, serious durability. Like, almost where you say, well, yeah, he's a nice player when he's out there, but you can never count on him to play. So really don't count on him at all.
Yeah,
and I hate to see that because I like him a lot as a player.
Yeah, I think he's a promising guy too. I agree with you, Beadle. I like him as a player. And your point is well taken because it's not just that the games that he misses, because he hasn't missed a ton of games, but he's never seems to be 100%. He always seems to be dealing with something. He leaves games for periods of time. And I think he's pretty tough because he gets back in there. Like I said the same thing about Amendola last year. Just because you're injury prone doesn't mean you're not tough.
Right.
I think he showed both of those players, I think, have shown some toughness on the football field, but they can't stay there for whatever reason.
And one of the big things that I've been saying recently is, you know, Brandon Browner, a lot of people have made a big deal out of Brandon Browner, and now he'll be able to return to the team starting tomorrow because his four-game ban will be up.
Yep.
And I've said all along, if you're asking me if I want Brandon Browner on the field, and not that this is, you know, an either-or situation because they could both be on the field in certain situations, if you're asking me if you want Alphonso Dennard or Brandon Browner on the field, I'm picking Dennard.
I like Dennard.
I want Dennard on the
field.
I like
Dennard too, but your point about him not being reliable is a good one. And, you know, maybe Browner is able to get out there and play, and that's better than having a
right.
guy that you can't rely on. But it will be interesting to see how Belichick sort of handles the suspensions and whatnot. And I agree with you. I would expect to see Browner reinstated quickly. I think they'll probably I'm not exactly sure how I should have looked this up before the show. If they have a week, sometimes when you guys get coming off of suspensions, they have a week exemption where you don't have to immediately activate them. I'm not sure if that's the case with the four-game PED guys, but it'll be interesting to see if Belichick immediately reinstates Browner. And, you know, I think a guy like Malcolm Butler is probably expendable. You know, you move him to the practice squad and you should be okay there. And you know I like Butler.
Oh, you know I'm a big fan of Butler as
but
well.
But he hasn't played. Much in the regular season, these three first three games.
And when
anyway.
He hasn't done very much.
No. So, I mean, he's probably a special teamer at this point, an extra cornerback that hasn't played much when Browner wasn't there. You add Browner to the mix, you got to figure he's even more expendable at that point.
So lots of things to talk about. Another guy with a decision looming is Brian Timms. Don't forget him.
Yeah.
Don't forget that situation with that suspension being up. But do want to talk more about the receiver situation and who will be active. I'm anxiously awaiting the inactives for the Patriots.
Anxiously.
As it relates to the wide receiver position, because I think this is now a weekly thing we're going to look for. Who is it? Who's going to be the guy out? We've talked about it every week so far right here on this
program. Tompkins' turn, right?
Right. I guess so. If it's a rotation.
I don't know.
That's the way it would be.
I've given up trying to figure this out. I think I said my piece. To me, Dobson would not be on the fence. Dobson would be one of my guys active every week. They like the fact that LaFell plays on the kickoff team, I guess. I don't get that. I don't understand it. I don't know why Dobson couldn't be an option on the kickoff team to go down and run 50 yards while Kostowski kicks the ball through the end zone. I would think that, you know, any reasonable athlete could do that. You know, maybe not me and you, but, you know, a reasonable athlete.
Yeah, I'm not a reasonable athlete. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. The Patriots on the road again tonight. Three out of their first four games on the road, and this one, no easy task playing at Arrowhead with the crowd trying to break the world record for noise at a game. Let's get to some of your thoughts on this game as we begin the program, and we'll start it off with Mike in Rhode Island. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Excellent, Mike.
I just wanted to bring up another point about the O-line. It's obviously been a huge problem so far this year, but I feel like we all agree that we would be better off if we still had Logan Mankins at left guard, right?
Yep.
And I was just wondering, do you guys think we should have waited a year on the trade, you know, kept him this year, you know, get Brady a little bit more time with that a better O-line, then maybe trade him next year to clear some of that cap space?
Well, I think if you wait a year, Mike, his value in terms of what you can trade him for goes down. If you're a team that's interested in Logan Mankins, you probably want to do that deal now as opposed to waiting another year. I'm not sure how much value he would have on the trade market another year from now. Now, should they have traded him? That question we've discussed and dissected here for weeks. My answer is no, I would not have traded him. I think they'd be a better team with him right now. But, Paul, I don't think if he was here, all of a sudden the Patriots offensive line has looked solid or good or any of those things, I still think they have a huge problem on their hands with or without Logan Mankins.
I totally agree. And last year we saw the line struggle with Mankins, and Mankins was part of that. And some of our listeners have been critical of Mankins. I've been very defensive of Logan, while he was still here. Yes, he was part of the problem. But my problem with the whole decision to let him go was you had a line that gave up the most sacks in Brady's tenure as quarterback since his first year, and then you took the best individual part of that offensive line and took it out of the equation. And, oh, by the way, I don't think it's a coincidence that it's played even worse. And, some people criticize me for saying that, but I understand that the sacks, they've given up 7 sacks in the first 3 games last year, the first 3 games this year. If you're watching these games and you don't think that they've had more problems protecting Brady in the first 3 games this week than they did last year, you're not watching. I don't care what Pro Football Focus or any other website says about pressures or hit. They have given up immediate pressure way too often in 3 games. That Khalil Mack hit last week against Oakland, he got blindsided. Brady threw the ball as he got hit. The ball squirted out to the sideline and fell for an incomplete pass. Yeah, Mack beats Solder clean off the edge, comes in flying. You watch the other 4 guys. They all got beat. Conley got beat. Cannon got beat. Vollmer got beat. And they're just coming in. There's 4 guys, 4 Raiders got to Brady. The problem was for the other 3 guys on Oakland, Mack just got there first, and he got the hit. That was a throw that was supposed to be out in less than 2 seconds. And luckily it was. Otherwise, it probably would have been a turnover. And who knows, with a game like that, it was a 1-score game, a turnover like that might have changed the whole complexion of the game.
Jamie's in Houston. Jamie's up next here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. What's going on, Jamie?
Monday night, guys. Nice.
That's all you got?
No, that's all. No, they didn't like that.
I'm just busting them on you. What's going on?
Hey, how you been, Paulie? Hey, and Mr. Bertrand, first time talking to you. God bless you for the deal with Mutt and Jeff here on the regular for the pregame and the postgame. And I think it's a good compliment, a good mix-up, and it's a good show.
Thank you.
So, we got another tall order tonight. And, Paul, I had a question. So since Dennard didn't make the trip, does that mean we had room to have both our miscellaneous receivers who haven't added too much lately, mix and match, Mr. Boyce and Mr. Tompkins on our active roster tonight? I didn't catch it. What are we looking there for our mix of receivers?
You're talking Tompkins and Dobson. No,
yeah, yeah.
I actually think one of those two will be inactive again. And I'm just reading a tweet here from Tom Curran, our buddy at CSNNE. He says that's what he's told. One of those two will be inactive. He wasn't told which one. But, again, it'll be either Tompkins or Dobson. So I'm not sure why those are the last 2.
What, Paulie?
What's that?
Is that more head scratching or what?
I don't get it. I don't see why LaFell is immune to this. I don't see why Amendola is immune to this. But, I mean, obviously they look at it differently than I do.
All right. I think this is going to be Amendola's, time to catch more than 2 passes tonight. I think he's the other guy that hopefully will contribute well. And let's get Gronk as well. But we need something more than just the Edelman show. And I hope they get it done. I think they'll win an ugly one and go past.
All right, Jamie. I mean, it could be. I mean, this is a bad secondary. Marcus Cooper is one of the worst cornerbacks in football. He got absolutely torched last year. Remember him from that playoff game, Beetle, against the Colts, where they gave up all those big plays. The only really quality player they have in the secondary is Eric Berry. He's out of this game. He's not going to be a part of it with the ankle injury. I look at Sean Smith, Marcus Cooper. I think those are guys that the Patriots can exploit, but it all starts up front. You've got to be able to get Brady some time to throw the football. Pretty simple.
855.
That might be a little foreshadowing of the keys to the game.
I like that. 855, Pats 500. Those keys to the game are coming up just a couple of minutes from now. Josh McDaniels had an answer about this when he was asked on his conference call earlier in the week, going back to last week now, with this being a Monday night game. And he said, when he was asked about this very, very topic, and I'm paraphrasing, and I'll pull up exactly what he said, but basically said, go ask Bill. you know, there's a lot of reasons why, but that's a question that's better suited for Bill than for me. And I thought that was a weird answer, Paul. Am I reading too much into that?
I thought it was a little bit weird too. And there have been some times this year that it's probably not all that strange and out of the ordinary, but I think it sounds more out of the ordinary when it comes out of this team, because they almost never have those kinds of things. Like when Brady's talking about before the season started, you know, if I don't have trust in a guy, you know, I'm not going to throw the ball to him. You know, that's the, I mean, we all kind of thought that, but you know, to hear him say it was kind of un-Brady-like, un-Patriot-like. I thought that comment that you're talking about with McDaniels was a little odd. Just the overall unsettled nature of the offensive line, even heading into the season. You know, the starting jobs. Why we didn't know 3, 4, 5 different guys who would start. Who was going to be starting at safety? Who was going to be starting at right guard? Who was going to be starting at center? You know, who are the wide receivers that were going to be with Brady? You know, the uncertainty surrounding some of these things. Very unpatriot-like to me. You know, I mean, maybe it's not as big a deal. Maybe it's just a little bit more of life around the NFL, and we're not used to seeing it as much.
Maybe. And so again, we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But I just thought it was, I don't know, like, is there any sort of disagreement there over who is going to be in this game, whether it be Tompkins or Dobson? And obviously, as you just mentioned, Paul, are guys like LaFell and Amendola just immune to being inactive for a game? But so far, it kind of seems that way, because I would like to see both of those guys out there, Dobson and Tompkins. Tompkins, because I think he's looked okay at times, and he's been on the same page as Tom Brady. Dobson, because he's in year two, and this is the year that he's supposed to make a leap. And you know what? He got a little bit of a late start this year, so he should be out there. He needs the reps. I think he should be on the field because I like his ceiling, and I think he can add something. But apparently it's going to be a rotation of an either-or, Andy, one guy or the other, and we're about to find out in the sometime soon who it is, whether it be Tompkins or Dobson getting the inactive.
Well, I did think it was interesting that, you know, Mike Reese likes to play his little prediction game of predict the inactives, and he went with LaFell this week. He thinks it's a three-man rotation where you could see throughout the year.
That's what I think it should be. I don't understand why he doesn't take his turn. I was just going off of our buddy Tom Curran tweeted out a short time ago that he was told that, again, it will be either Tompkins or Dobson. Wasn't told which one it would be, but one of those two will be inactive. Now, again, these are tweets. They're not facts. We don't know necessarily that everything we're reading on Twitter is accurate, but just one guy's information that he's passing along.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. We go back to the phones, and we'll talk to Jeff in Vegas. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up? What's going on?
Yeah, sorry about the long hold time. I think with Kevin out of town, I think it's off of Zach, and I was down on the list a little bit. Hey, Monday Night Football guys, very excited about this matchup. I think Brady. I've been hearing a lot among the national pundits. I've heard talk of like Brady being washed up and such. Do you think he might be sort of backed into a corner a little bit? Do you think that affects him at all and incentivizes him in any way?
Who said he was washed up? Again,
they're saying it on some of the national shows, or it's been a theme. It was like a theme yesterday, like, oh, the Packers and New England's offenses are really struggling. Is Brady? A lot of talking heads have been expressing concern about Tom Brady losing it.
I hadn't seen that.
I think that affects him at all? No, I don't.
I think he always sort of plays with something to prove. I think he has that sort of superstar chip that, you know, a lot of great ones have. They hear.
He was drafted.
Right,
because
he was drafted in the sixth round. It was a tough day. I think he always has that. He always, I think, is always trying to prove something. I was just curious because, to me, it would matter who said it. You know, if it was just some loudmouth reactionary guy who always overreacts, then
Andy,
I blow it off.
I think like Schlereth, again, just on some of the, like one of their talking points is, and I actually saw, maybe it's on one of those sort of Fox, like late night sports things, like the caption was Brady washed up. And it's just washed up. I'd never really seen that. Like those concerns have never really been expressed, you know, until now from, you know, aside from complete yahoos. You're not getting any of sort of that undercurrent?
No.
No.
No, I think most people are sort of looking at the offensive line problems and the struggles that they've had protecting Brady, and I think that's where the focus needs to be. That's, to me, the overwhelming issue. And I have been critical of Brady. I'm not going to back away from that. But the overwhelming issue to me with the offense has been the protection. And until that changes, I don't care if you're 37, 27, whatever, you're going to struggle to find time to find receivers behind that protection.
Yeah, and I think some of it has been seeping into the line. The point spread started out New England -4, dropped to -3, and now it's -3 Kansas City, -120, which means they're really trying to keep it from going to 2.5. So I didn't get a chance to know how concerned are any of you guys really concerned about tonight? Anyone think that it's New England's going to lose?
I think it's a possibility.
I don't think they will.
I think they're going to win the game, but I think it's going to be similar to last week. I think it's going to be a tight game, and I think the Patriots are going to find a way to win it. But I do not feel like, you know, the Patriots are poised for a blowout here tonight.
What? You mean to be blown out?
No. To blow out Kansas City. And I don't think Kansas City is very good. That's why I compare this a lot to last week. I don't think Kansas City is that much better than Oakland. They are better. They are better, and the fact that the game is in Kansas City makes it an infinitely more difficult game. But with all the guys that the Chiefs are missing,
yeah,
I don't think this is that much different than the team they played last week.
How many points is Kansas City getting right now?
3.
It was 4, now they're getting 3. I'm trying to middle it. I took the Chiefs at -4, and then I'm trying to take the Patriots at...
Always middling.
He's always
middling things, Jeff.
And he would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those middling kids. That's meddling.
So Jeff's always trying to make the bet and always trying to never lose.
Kyle Orton.
Right? Every week.
EJ Manuel.
And yet it seems like
that
he loses a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. 855-PATS-500.
Andy's raising his hand.
You got something in there, Andy?
Well, I just wanted to read something making the rounds on Twitter now. It's a article from Arizona Cardinals, a little more Tommy Kelly.
Oh.
And I know we like to have a muckraker.
I'll tell you what. Save that thought.
We're going to tease it?
Yeah, we're going to tease that. Ooh. Save that thought, Andy. We'll tell you.
Kelly's got a lot to say.
We'll tell you what Tommy Kelly has been saying out in Arizona. We'll do that next with more of your calls.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to join today's show? Call the guys on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social and your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. Andy told you right before that quick timeout that Tommy Kelly has been saying some things about the Patriots out in Arizona. So what's the latest? Give us the story.
Courtesy of our friends over at azcardinals.com, the official site of the Arizona Cardinals, and Darren Urban. I'm going to just go to the money quote, because it's a quote basically how Kelly was a good signing. You know, he has quotes about everybody. Oh, that's great. They went out and got him, blah, blah. John Abraham got hurt. We needed him even more, blah, blah, blah. And the money quote referencing his time in New England is similar to what we heard before, but a little more extensive. Quote, I saw the situation and I realized I probably wouldn't be there, Kelly said. I couldn't take busting my tail every day, getting to a game, and then taking me out of the game for someone who I know isn't better than me because he's a cheaper option. Are we worried about money here or are we worried about winning?
Ooh.
Paul Perillo reaction.
Well, I think that when you remember back to Kelly's quotes that appeared, 3 weeks ago or so, when we yes. first became aware of them, when he said that he sort of asked to be released, this is what he was talking about. I think that he felt like he wasn't going to be a full-time player, and he felt the reason they didn't want him to be a full-time player wasn't as much to do with his ability as it was to do with any incentives that he might have. Now, he took a pay cut. And when you do that, they always roll it into incentives so you can earn back the money. And I don't think he felt like he was going to get the opportunity. I don't know what the truth is. I don't know what the coaching staff had in mind. Andy looks like
elsewhere in the story, he says the quote, straight up, end quote, way the coaches have dealt with him has been beneficial, in contrast to how he said the last days of his New England tenure played out. Quote, you can't ask for no more from your coaches, Kelly said. Just keep it 100 for me. I don't know what that means. I'm going to be a coach, and that's exactly how I'm going to treat players. So apparently he didn't feel like they were totally honest with him or, quote, straight up.
Yeah, listen, again, it's hard to comment specifically because you don't know. Maybe he's 100% right, and I don't know what Belichick had
wouldn't
in mind with him.
Out.
I wouldn't either.
Thanks, Bill.
An older guy, and we've seen that kind
wouldn't
of
rule
stuff.
Rule that one out.
You know, we've seen that kind of stuff with veteran players before. I'm not naive enough to think that that's immune to New England. It doesn't happen here. So, listen, I understand Tommy Kelly's happy where he is. He's on a team that's 3-0 and enjoying a bye week.
Coaches that are straight up with him.
Yeah, 100.
100. Let's check out the Poll Center. Remember, you can get the polls
at
Facebook.com/New England Patriots. I am serving as the Poll Center. Andy, if you had to sit one
Poll Center
wide, that's not nice, Paul. Why are you going to say that?
It's not nice. That was not nice.
Take a shot at
no, that was
no,
not nice in any way, shape,
no
or form.
No need to say those types of things.
It's a very Andy-like comment. Yeah, I apologize for that.
Right after Fred
you know
told
what?
Us to be more serious.
I'm better than
did he?
That.
Did he tell you to be more serious?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm better than that.
He said you were the worst one.
I was the worst one?
Yeah.
Why? What was my problem?
He said you were being a little too silly, laughing too much.
If you had to sit one wide receiver.
He didn't really sit.
I know he didn't. But Andy, once he said what it was that he made up, I knew it wasn't real. If you had to sit one wide receiver for tonight's game, who would it be? Here are the options. Aaron Dobson, Danny Amendola, Kenbrell Tompkins, Brandon LaFell.
Kenbrell Tompkins. I'm back to where I was in the spring, which was done with Kenbrell Tompkins. I think he's the most frustrating and inconsistent player on the planet.
Okay, I'm going to ask you
I would go with LaFell.
You're going with LaFell. Who do you think is the leader in the poll?
I think
Amendola
yeah.
is the leader in the
He is not.
Oh. LaFell?
It's LaFell.
I knew it would be one of the whipping boys.
47%.
Yeah, I thought.
Amendola is at 24%.
And who else? What's the rest?
Aaron Dobson, 10%. Kenbrell Tompkins, 20%.
So, and what was Amendola?
Amendola was 24%.
Yeah, I'm with Andy. I think the two whipping boys are the two that haven't sat yet, and they seem to be drawing the most ire from the fans, LaFell and Amendola. So I'm not surprised that those two are leading right now.
They're also drawing the largest paychecks from the team.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. I think that LaFell, I think a lot of people sort of said, well, you know, you started seeing some stuff last week. I thought he had... You know how sometimes you can make catches and they're not necessarily impact catches?
Like third and 15 if you get 12?
Yeah. He had that. And he had a bubble screen on third and 10 that got like 4 yards. I mean, he had four catches. So those are two completely meaningless ones that set up punts. You know, sometimes you can get statistics and make them do whatever you want them to be.
But could it be a springboard?
I don't know.
Springboard.
I would like to see. You know what I would like to see? I would like to see Dobson get an opportunity to see if he could get four or five passes thrown to him in a game and see if he can make some plays with them.
I would have Dobson higher on my list because I still think there's potential long-term investment payoff. As I said, I've sort of given up on
Tompkins. I know you've given
Tompkins
up on KT.
And Amendola, I still feel like there could be long-term investment payoff based on the guy's been productive in the NFL. Tompkins, to me, and it's funny because I was watching the freaking 49ers and that DB named Brandon Lloyd is out there. But he's next in the line of the useless 85s. They're useless.
We'll go behind enemy lines coming up at 7:30. Therese Paylor,
Perez
Chiefs
Hilton.
Lead beat writer for the Kansas City Star. That would be Therese Paylor. Will be kind enough to join us coming up at 7:30. But now it's time for the keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
Paul has already foreshadowed some of his keys
to the game. I'll
let
you go first this week. You let me go first last week. I think we're probably on the same page.
We're on a nice rotation.
Just a quick update. Did you set your DVR for the pregame show with
Drew Bledsoe?
On the pregame show. Sitting down with somebody.
No, I did
yes,
not.
He's sitting down. I read this earlier today.
Oh, Rick Riley.
On yes. Monday Night Football?
Monday yeah. Night.
Is he there?
Countdown or...
No, what? This is a pre-taped interview.
I'm sure it's, you know, about his wine or
yeah.
something.
7:30 Eastern. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not... All right, we can move on from that. But no, I did not set my
DVR.
We can
move on from that. No. Dismissal.
No, you know me and my interviews. Like, it doesn't matter if I really like the guy. I don't find it any more interesting when I really like the guy than when I don't like the guy.
Paul hates interviews.
I do. I
do. Loves Drew Bledsoe.
I love Drew Bledsoe.
I'm right there with him.
If he sees a camera and microphone, Paul's ready to talk, but he doesn't want to hear other people talk.
Paul's never met a microphone he didn't like.
I don't mind listening to other people talk. I don't really care for athletes talking.
Oh.
They don't really have anything to say.
So you like Eric Scalvino's interviews?
Can we get to the keys to the games? Game. One game. Singular.
I am going to go with a simple one. I don't know whether you want to call it offensive line or protection, but the front five guys need to do their damn job.
I mean, to talk about any other key than that, to me, is missing.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's missing the point.
Because I think you'd like to run against a team that gives up 5.1 on the ground. I think you'd like to throw, but none of that matters if...
Against a bad secondary missing its best player.
Right. Like, I think Gronk could be the X factor. I think the reason they could win could be Rob Gronkowski with a couple touchdowns. But none of that matters if Cameron Fleming or Brian Stork poop themselves, or Nate Solder or Sebastian Vollmer can't block Houston and Ali, right? That all just goes down the crapper if you can't do your job up front.
I totally agree. I'm with Andy 100% on that. I'll flip to the other side of the ball, and I'm going to talk about the pass rush, and I think that what they did last week in a game plan type thing, and I don't know this to be a fact, just was my impression, is they wanted a young guy in Derek Carr who has a little bit of escapability. You know, he had made a couple of good runs previously in the first couple of games. I thought, Beadle, they really focused on keeping him in the pocket last week and making him throw the ball from the pocket, saying to themselves, there's no way he can beat us from there. But if we let him slip out and run for 25 yards, he might be able to make some plays with his feet. I think Alex Smith is a similar kind of guy. I don't think if you force him to make throw after throw after throw, especially if you can be in the lead and force him to come back, I don't think he's capable. Now, this is obviously a much more experienced guy than Derek Carr was last week. But I think they want to limit his opportunities to extend drives with his legs. And I think that's a key tonight, is to keep him in the pocket and not let him, you know, end this game with five or six carries for 45 yards. Those are the kinds of, you know, I'm not comparing him to Cam Newton, what he did in the Monday night game in Carolina last year. I don't think he's that dynamic of an athlete, but Alex Smith can move. He's a mobile quarterback who has made plays with his legs. I think it's incumbent upon Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich to do what they did last week and maintain that pocket.
Andy, have you made a number of references this week to Stork pooping for some reason?
Yes.
I think he may have pooped himself on the practice field this summer.
Andy thinks anytime a guy goes to the outhouse.
No. That has nothing to do with the outhouse.
He may have actually done it.
He had a bad shotgun snap, which Tom Brady chewed him out for. After he finished taking the lap for the bad snap, he got a towel, pulled his shorts way out, put the towel way down, not in his crack, like into the undercarriage, wiped up and down a few times, and then left the towel jammed between his butt cheeks. I think he may have pooped himself. This was totally observational.
Okay, so you've told this story.
Oh yeah.
Okay, because I couldn't understand why we were getting.
It's not a figurative.
No,
he pooped himself by being nervous.
Right.
It's a literal one.
No,
I think he's convinced that he
pooped
himself.
Because we're getting a stream of emails, right? That have started. It started at 5:45 tonight. We started getting emails about Stork and pooping references, including this one, Andy. A lot of stock being put in Stork. What are the chances he poops himself again? Brett in the Bay Area. All right, that was the first
one. Yeah, that's where that comes from.
Cody in Illinois writes, I still have the Pats winning tonight, but Stork starting concerns me a little bit. I'm all for the rookie getting a shot to start, but I don't think this is the right game for that. I'm concerned he won't be strong enough to stop the pass rush up the middle. Other than the offensive line, I'm fairly confident in this team. I'm just concerned that Stork won't be the only one crapping himself tonight. Hope the team brought some extra towels. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's where that all stems
yep.
from.
Got it. Well,
and
now
I got
have
Fred
the
to buy into it. Fred also makes references to it occasionally during the week. So, but yeah, that's where it comes from.
You touched on the Tommy Kelly story. That's something that former Patriot. Here's another story.
Paul, just a heads up from
Go
Greg
ahead.
Bedard.
Yeah.
He'll be on Felger and Maz on Wednesday this week instead of Tuesday.
Okay.
So I don't think you'll be on Wednesday. You'll be on Thursday.
I was already told that.
No, I just
it's not
they
a
were
heads
able
up.
To confirm it.
They checked
Bedard.
It with me first.
You can go with that.
They wanted to make sure that I could do it. They wanted to make sure I could do it first.
We're going to be talking about the first round of the NFL draft on that day.
Whoa.
What do you got?
Patriots inactive. I have to turn my laptop sideways. Kenbrell Tompkins, Aaron Dobson, Josh Klein, Jordan Devey, Zach Moore, Alfonso Dennard, and the new Walker guy. Is that Casey, Corey, whatever his name is? Casey.
So they're both
So they didn't
inactive.
Have to pick between Tompkins and Dobson.
So
they
both
just make...
Dobson and Tompkins are inactive. Woo-wee,
that wide receiver overhaul from a year ago. One's on the practice squad, two are on the inactive list.
So can you read that list again? Besides Thompson and Tompkins and Dobson.
Tompkins, Dobson, Klein, Devy, Moore, Dennard, Walker.
Okay, so Devy goes from starting the first three games to being inactive.
Klein.
That's very interesting to me.
Does not get bumped up.
That's very interesting to me. So they're going with one fewer offensive line. Well, no, Wendell's back.
But they are going with sort of three centers.
No, but they're still going with one fewer, right? Because Wendell is back. but no one that was he's the only inactive one. No, I guess it's the same. It's Wendell back and Devy out. So it's
right.
The same
and
amount
Klein
of offense.
Klein has been active no matter what.
Klein was active in the second game, right?
And James White, active.
James White is the okay, there you go. Maybe we'll see a little James White tonight.
I don't like the Tompkins and Dobson inactives, though. Not a fan of that. I mentioned
because they're gonna. You know what they're gonna do? I've been asking for, baby. Run the damn ball. Five running backs active. No wide receivers active. Lining up, lock, stop, and smoking.
Receivers battle. Active. It's
no,
just
I know, but you know
two.
What I mean.
You know, I know what you mean.
They're gonna run the ball. Big night for James Devlin. Although, one little intricacy here. If they were to want to run the ball. Wasn't Cameron Fleming a part of that as your extra tight end? If he's now your starting right guard, who's your
role?
Extra tight end? Or are we going to have moving pieces where Wendell's in or somebody's in and blah, blah? No, Wendell. If Wendell came in, you couldn't bring Wendell in unless he played guard because you got two centers. And Conley's already out there. Oh, Cannon. Cannon could be the tight end. Cannon could be the extra tight end. That's what it'll be. Cannon could be the blocking tight end.
There you go.
I talked myself through that.
There you go.
That was very Paul-like right
there. I'm glad you
could do
that on
the air. That was very Paul-like.
A couple of emails that came in on this topic, I think more than a couple. Charlie Weiss was fired by Kansas over the weekend.
So I can add him to our list.
And so a lot of people have emailed in saying, and I'll read one email here. We got one from Debbie. Debbie at work, I believe, listening
Dallas.
To us. On the not Debbie in Dallas. Travis from Tennessee writes in, Charlie Weiss available again with this offense in disarray. What are the odds Charlie is brought in some way to help, either to coach, consult, or something that can catch Tom's ear?
I would never rule it out. I don't think it's likely. But I will add him to our list of polls, whether you'd rather add Dante Scarnecchia, Charlie Weiss, or Tony Gonzalez to the offense midseason. The more names we add to that, the more it seems like the offense has a lot of problems.
Can we get like Jonathan Ogden in that group or someone?
Well, he's like dead, right? Are there any tackles that are recently retired? How about the skinny guy from Carolina? We'll bulk him up again.
Jordan Gross.
Oh, yeah. He lost a ton of weight.
Well, you know, he'd have to eat for a couple of weeks, but we'll get him back in there. No, I don't think Charlie Weiss.
I don't think it makes much sense.
Next
but
stop
I agree
for
with
Charlie
Andy.
Weiss is a high school coach.
I agree with Andy that I wouldn't rule it out only because they've shown a propensity to do that with these former. You know, Dable came back and McDaniels came back midstream.
And I think he probably could still work with Tom Brady and Josh McDaniels. The question would be, could he still work with Bill Belichick, or is that sort of water under the bridge and all parties have moved on from that and. Charlie, thanks for your accomplishments over time, but we don't want you back.
Yeah, could be. I don't know.
Charlie's got
I don't have the answer
money,
to that.
Right? He doesn't need money.
Oh, God, yeah.
So whatever
he's still
he
getting
does,
paid by Notre Dame.
Yeah,
he
whatever
gets paid by Kansas.
Whatever he does is just to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wants to do it.
Right. He'll be an unpaid consultant just hanging out.
Chiefs, as expected, you know, we already knew that Berry was out. DeAnthony Thomas is out as well. But Jamaal Charles is in as Andy Reid sort of hinted on in the conference call on Thursday, I guess, this week. He's...
But for how long?
He's as talented a back as there is in the league. He can...
Go for the ankle.
Okay, Fred.
That's what you do. That's what they do. That's what how
that's
it goes.
What Rodney said.
That's when what happens
you,
in
when
this
Gronk
league.
Was coming
you
back.
You just got to do what he do.
Yeah.
I do think tackling is an issue tonight, not just with Charles, but with Kelsey and some of the other guys, because I don't think they're a great offense. So if you miss tackles, you give them yards. If you just if he throws it 8 yards and you tackle him, okay, and that's what they're good at. They keep everything in front. They're not going to give up big plays.
Yeah, they've been very good at it so far this year.
We're about to take an international call, but before we do that, we need Andy to give out an international number. You want to know which country this is from? This call's from Ecuador.
Yep.
So give us something else.
We don't even have a phone number.
Oh, right well, here. How about that? Making the effort to get involved here.
I will give out, tonight is 7. So Australia would be good because it's tomorrow, right? That's like 12 hours in advance. It's tomorrow. Australia, g'day, mate. 1-800-429-286. That's 1-800-429-2286. If you got that. You probably didn't, but
no one did. It's like we always know what you mean, you know, when you have a sexual innuendo. No one ever gets the number when you read it that way.
We'll see.
Which is great. If you're looking for the toll-free number for your country, hit up patriots.com. That's where
yes,
you can find
it. Because we have, I mean, what is it here? We got like 10 of them.
Yeah, there's a good
Ukraine,
deal.
Sweden, Spain, Japan, Ireland, Germany, France, Australia, UK.
But yet we have a loyal caller from Ecuador who calls every week.
Victor.
Can we give Victor a damn number?
So
Victor, I hope you have a good cell phone.
So Victor, you're up. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you? How's everything?
Great.
Are you excited for the game?
Yes. I am jacked.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to blow the Chiefs out.
That's a little strong.
You're saying that with like your big cojones, like bravado, or do you really think that?
No, I really think that. I think that the Patriots don't lose this kind of games, and the Chiefs. They're decimated by injuries, and I don't know. I have a feeling that this is one of those games when we go out and we put up 35 points on them, and they score like 10. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Having said that, I just wanted to ask you guys one question. How long are people going to still keep making excuses for Nate Solder? I mean, because the first couple of years it was like, he had to go against a great pass rusher, so he gave up a couple sacks, and then now all of a sudden it's, he lost Logan Mankins and he wasn't comfortable playing with Cannon. How long until people realize that this guy's a bust? And the thing that pissed me the most about him is not the player in itself, but when I go back and look at that 2011 draft, that was the draft, like, the Patriots were loaded with draft picks. And it seems to me that with the first 15 picks in the draft, like, every team got a cornerstone for either their defense or their offense.
It's a great draft.
I mean, it's like, Quinn, Watt.
The only misses in that draft were the quarterbacks. So it was Gabbert, Ponder, and Locker.
And they wouldn't have done that.
And the Patriots obviously weren't interested in a quarterback. Out of the first 16 picks, I would say 13 of them were pretty good. I think Nick Fairley was one of the picks too, and he has some attitude problems.
It's a fairly good pick,
but not a terrible pick.
No,
but Victor's right. There was a lot of good players. Patrick Peterson.
Now they'll claim we couldn't trade
Robert
up
Quinn.
Because everybody wanted those players. Nobody was looking to trade down. That was the argument of because that was obviously the draft where I wanted to trade up for Robert Quinn. I thought that was the answer.
But there might be some validity to that, considering how these guys panned out. I mean, there was a lot of good players at the top of that draft.
Victor, thank you for the call, and thank you for going
Solder,
through the
Solder, though. I mean, what do you think of Solder?
Yeah, he mentioned
Solder.
You
think he's as bad as Victor mentioned him?
No. I think he's been pretty bad. This year?
Yeah,
I think he's been terrible. Yeah. I think for his career, he's been pretty good.
Yeah,
Victor made it sound like, when are people finally going to realize he's a bust? Well,
it's only been three games.
He's been pretty good.
I thought last year he was okay. He wasn't great last year.
Well, he's never been great. He's been pretty good. He's been Matt Light to me. He was a very good replication in sort of the mold of they're not elite. They'll probably go to a Pro Bowl occasionally. They'll struggle with some elite guys and be really good against some elite guys.
My appreciation for Matt Light has grown since he retired.
Right. The further you get away from Dwight Freeney and Jason Taylor and the games you forget where he couldn't suck them.
Excuse me? Listen.
No, I just think.
Okay, I understand.
I remember criticizing him immensely when he would have those hiccup or almost predictable bad games against good talent.
Okay, who would you rather have, Matt Light or Nate Solder?
Right now, Matt Light.
Okay.
I
was always someone who was always kind of down on Matt Light. Didn't think he was as good as people made him out to be.
He wasn't.
But my appreciation for him has grown since he has retired.
See, it's funny. I think the same of Matt Light as I did, but I would rather have Matt Light. I think Matt Light was better than Nate Solder has been.
But last year, I wouldn't have really cared either way. I think Nate Solder has been really bad to start the year.
And this is another one of those things. We like to just sort of throw it out there because, we're Patriots.com. We sometimes don't necessarily have any fact to base our opinions, but we throw it out there anyway. I'm wondering if maybe he's not dealing with something physical right now, but he's had some concussion issues, and I'm wondering if that's affecting him, his mental.
Well, that's not good.
No, I'm not suggesting that as being something good.
That's to me is worse than, like I said, maybe he has a back issue and he can't bend a certain way. If he's got a head issue, well, that's not.
Yeah,
good
and
at
I don't
all.
Mean that he's dealing with a concussion.
I think it's even worse if it's like.
Yes, that's my point.
Post.
Yeah, like he's maybe not willing. Maybe he's playing a little bit scared. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. But he has not played well, and I'll tell you, Sunday was as bad as I can remember him. So he got killed Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Inside and
out. And that's what made it really ironic when we had to do the, you know, the Xbox One postgame show, and our guest is Nate Solder, and it made it a little awkward.
And a lot of people are...
not going to lie.
He answered the questions. He
did. And I give him a lot of credit for doing it. And we asked him about protection issues. We asked him about the inability to run the ball against a terrible running team, and he answered the questions. He's a stand-up guy.
There was a bunch of cheap shots I could have taken off that final note there. You know who's not a stand-up guy? His quarterback when he's playing.
I'm glad that you chose not to take the cheap shots.
But a lot of people are trying to say Cannon's been so bad. That's why Solder's been bad, because Cannon's been
bad. Well, that's me, because I'm an apologist.
Well, I mean, for Mankins. I even read. I think
Mankins made Solder look better.
I think Howe even said, you know, so he's shading to Cannon. Well, what does that even mean? Offensive linemen have splits. They're not shading. Defensive linemen have shading. So he's shading to Cannon? I don't even know what you're talking about. It just sounds like excuse making for Solder. He hasn't played well. That's fine. It happens. As I said, Matt Light had stretches. Now, it won't get easier. Because he sort of talked about it in the summer. You know, he feels like he was going through a Pro Bowl. Well, that's what left tackles do. A lot of teams have good players that rush off the right defensive edge.
Let's go to Carl. He's in Canada. Hey, Carl.
Yeah, I love what that last caller said about Nate Solder. I've been feeling that even going back to last year. It seemed like he gave up a big sack in the Denver game, I think, when they got their 3 points in the first half on that drive. We killed the drive there in the red zone, and it just seemed like last year he gave up so many big sacks, like right off, he gets totally beat, like right off the edge, and it's like he's stuck in the cement boots. And you know, last week, I mean, I have tickets to the Bears Pats game. I don't know if Brady's going to make it to that game. the amount of hits that he took, it's horrible. I mean, it was terrible to watch that.
Yeah, if he keeps getting hit like last week in particular, he might not make it, because he took some hellacious hits.
And I'm still thinking of that hit that he took from Tuck that, you know, right around the midsection, landed right on his shoulder, looked like he was dealing with a rib problem, maybe a shoulder problem. He was bent over, doubled over. I don't know if he had the wind knocked out of him. No,
lung
for real.
No, I think it took a while for the organs to re-locate back inside his body.
Yeah, and he ended up throwing the ball at LaFell's feet on the following play, and they ended up having to kick a field goal. I agree. I mean, the hits that he's taking, I don't remember. Listen, I know it's anecdotal. I don't remember him taking the amount of heavy hits that he's taken in the first 3 weeks of this season in years past.
Yeah, I remember a Bears game like years ago. He was plowed, and they ended up tying the game late, and I think winning in overtime. He took a lot of hits. That was like somewhere around 10 years ago, but in Chicago. But you know about the O-line? I think I heard it on NFL Game Day yesterday, NFL Network. I'm not sure, but someone was reporting about the slow start with Tampa Bay, and they were saying that Mankins was struggling too. They're saying he was getting overpowered on a lot of plays. And I've watched the Thursday night Tampa Bay game and a bit yesterday, because the Pats were off on the NFL Network Red Zone. And you know what? He's not really standing out anyway. Yeah, do I think the O-line would be better? Of course. But I mean, the Pats didn't want to pay that big salary, and I could sort of see the move. But I mean, the rest of the O-line, I mean, Storks, wasn't he the best center in college football last year?
The Remington Award winner,
he won
the
award, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, he should be able, if you're the best center, you should be able to come in. I mean, look at the Pouncey guys.
Well, but wait a second. I don't believe the Pouncey's won it. That's something that's come up a lot early in the season, is the difference between Remington Award winners as the quote-unquote best center in college football and the best center prospects in college football for the NFL,
right,
aren't always the same. It's sort of like the Heisman Trophy. Eric Crouch was the best player in college football. Where is he now?
Well, I'll even take you to a different level. Andy did a story on DJ Williams this summer, and he won the Mackey Award as the best tight end, and he's been on four or five teams and struggling to stay in the league. He, you know, just because you're the best in college at something doesn't mean it translates to the pros. Now, I have some hope for Brian Stork. I think it would be the right move to put him in tonight. But by no means do I think that's a cure-all and that he's all of a sudden going to fix everything that ails them.
And Bill went over the top about him on Saturday, I think it was, praising him, best they'd rated in a couple of years and all that. So they like him a lot. I think it was clear, you know, they would like him to be the starting center. Maybe that begins tonight, and we'll see where it goes. I kind of feel bad for him, because the expectations on a rookie fourth-round center are like nothing I've ever seen.
Let's go to Brad. He's in Maine. Hey, Brad.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Brad?
Not a whole lot. Hey, I'm as perplexed as you guys are with this Dobson being on the inactive and Kembrell Tompkins as well. I think that's I think it's really curious. Do you guys think maybe there's something going on, you know, injury-wise where he's still not 100% or maybe even disciplinary? I mean, I just can't even imagine why, you know, like you guys have both, you know, alluded to, you know, not even so much right now, but just the future. I mean, you wasted a second-round pick on him. Why wouldn't you be playing him and maybe, you know, building him up for what might happen later in his career? I just think it's a curious move to keep, you know, putting him on there. Is there any kind of reason you guys think there might be that's not football necessary? Or?
Well, I would just say the foot, you know. Maybe he's not quite to where they want him to be with the foot, the surgery in the off season, and missing all of the summer, basically. And maybe it's a little bit of a slower process coming back than even they expected.
Yeah. If that's the case, I would be fine with that. I mean, I don't want to rush him back. I don't want to, you know, rob Gronkowski and then have him out there getting hurt again. But, I mean, I just think it's interesting. And I'm honestly as concerned about the O-line as you guys are, but I think I'm just as concerned about our receiving core. I think when we play against a good football team, you know, if we have to play against, you know, like the Seahawks or someone, we're going to have to throw the ball and put up some points. I mean, I'm a Stephen Ridley apologist, I'll admit it, but, I mean, he's not going to be winning us football games. And I don't think Shane Vereen is either. We need to be passing the football. That's the strength, you know, of our offense, and it has been for a long time. And I think that, you know, our lack of a passing threat is really, you know, it's really worrisome, you know, especially since, you know, every other team in the league knows that we have no downfield threat. I mean, like I said, you could double cover Julian Edelman, and, you know, pretty much for us, as of the last couple of games, it's pretty much over. You're going to win the game. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think it's going to be a very similar game to Oakland, like you guys said. And I think there's a pretty good chance they lose this football game. If, you know, if they don't come out and start making plays, I think they might lose. So,
Brad, I think you make a number of good points there.
Oh, I think,
figures.
I think Beadle might be foreshadowing his pick later on.
Figures. Felger and Maz Jr. over there likes the negativity.
You know, I just say...
I don't think there's any non-football related issues with Tompkins and Dobson. Now, I don't have any reason to not to think that, but I haven't seen any signs of it. I haven't heard any inklings of it. I think they're healthy and active. I agree with Andy. I think that there's a possibility with Dobson's foot, maybe even from a cardio point of view. They don't feel like he's quite 100% football-wise, but I don't think that has a big part in why he's inactive.
You think maybe he got a flat tire when he was taking that right onto Taylor Price Way?
Yeah, well, I hope that's not the case, Andy. I hope he gets a chance.
He's getting ready to go down Taylor Price Way.
I hope he gets a chance.
His career in New England is on life support right now because they need something offensively, and he's just not part of it.
All I know is
evidently
that, you know,
he can't block.
The points about passing.
He can't go down and cover a touchback either.
You know,
I already went on this rant when you were on the other show, Andy. I'm sorry.
I know we talked about it last week. I know you wrote about it this week in PFW about the run versus the pass. This is a debate that's going to continue.
Run.
You say run, run, run. I say pass. Paul said pass.
Brad said pass.
He's Bill Belichick. I don't care how we do it as long as we have more points.
No, I do. I think that you need to pass the ball to score points. I think you can run the ball against bad teams occasionally, although they couldn't do it last week against the bad team. I agree with Andy. 5.1 yards a carry that Kansas City's allowed. Make no mistakes. People look at this team and they remember the fact that they won 9 games in a row last year. They started off 9-0. Since then, they are 3-8. And I think that is more indicative of what the Kansas City Chiefs are in terms of talent than the 9-0 start. They beat up on a bunch of bad teams early in the year. They caught some teams by surprise. And late in the year, they started playing the Denvers of the world.
Well, they did compete,
and they got their
playoff
asses handed to them.
It ended in crazy fashion, but they did compete in their game.
They competed in historic, absolute historic fashion. They blew the largest lead in playoff history, correct?
Yes.
Or was it the second to
Buffalo?
Didn't they beat
the Buffalo Houston? I thought they beat that record. Maybe I'm wrong.
And it was embarrassing. This is not a very good football team. And by the way, it's not even as good a football team as the one that closed last year because a lot of players that were pretty good players on that team have left.
Simon from the UK emails in, guys, can't see anything other than a straightforward Chiefs victory. Ooh. Pats will go down early and Ali and company will feast off that poor excuse for a Pats offensive line. Two rooks on the offensive line reeks of desperation. Hold on to your hats, because this is going to get ugly, real ugly. Simon from the UK checking in here. Web radio.
Can you imagine the level of panic we'll have if we lose tonight, and then we have to face the Bengals coming in next week? It's going to be.
Paul, I think this game's a toss-up for them.
I do too.
That's kind of how I'm looking at this game. So I think it's a very real possibility that we're coming back here.
I just don't think they're going to lose it.
At 11:30 or midnight, and we're talking about a loss for this team and them being at 500. So I'm putting it at a toss-up. Dunkin' Donuts, new dark roast.
You and Eric Scalavino.
What does that mean?
Eric's predicting a loss too.
Oh. No, I think it's a losable game. We did it last week. It's losable. You're in Kansas City. You're not playing well, and they have a pulse. It's losable.
Losable. Dunkin' Donuts' new Dark Roast Coffee is here. Celebrate National Coffee Day today, September 29th, with a free medium hot Dark Roast Coffee from Dunkin'. Set your alarms and mark your calendars for today. I would assume you're already up.
Well, but right? It's even better. Because if you're like me, you're a sports fan, sometimes you have trouble with these late-night games.
Well, I'll tell you what. Right now would be a perfect time to go out to Dunkin'.
Exactly.
Because game's an hour from now. You got plenty of time. Hit up Dunkin', get yourself a cup of coffee,
get the
and
boost,
get going.
Because you'll be all right in the first half. You know when you'll fade? At halftime. Because you start to relax, and you're just kind of listening to them babble at halftime. Mm-hmm. And then you fall asleep, and you miss the second half. And you don't want to do that, so get a coffee.
Maybe you want to run out at halftime and get a coffee.
Yeah, like, right? I couldn't have stayed up. Even if the game was competitive last night, I could not have stayed up to watch that game if I had to.
But if you went and got a Dunkin' coffee, you could have.
So if you're on your couch, it's different than worrying. If you're on your couch and you're just watching it for fun, You need something.
Right. America runs on Dunkin', limit one per customer.
Can I still get one of those swirls?
Yeah, probably. Get a swirl
in there.
Wasn't
in the copy.
It wasn't in the copy, but I know they have them. If you request one, they
just read the damn copy.
At Dunkin' Donuts will take care of you. We're coming right back here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. As we said before, we go behind enemy lines with Therese Paylor, Chiefs lead beat writer for the Kansas City Star. That's coming up next.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a question for the boys? Call them on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We are an hour from kickoff in Kansas City between the Patriots and the Chiefs. The Pats 2-1 on the year. The Chiefs are 1-2. We're going to go behind enemy lines coming up just a minute from now. Some comments and some commentary, I should say, being made prior to this game tonight about Rob Gronkowski. Apparently Trent Dilfer on ESPN said that Rob Gronkowski is a young man in an old man's body. How do we feel about that?
I don't like it.
How do we feel about that comment?
The tone of it. Guys have injuries. He'll be fine.
Yeah, I think it's a little too soon to say that. I wouldn't say that it's ruling that out, that the way he looks now is how he will continue to look. I don't think that's going to be the case, but yeah, you never know.
I would say that that's accurate based on what we've seen, but not necessarily accurate based on how it will be.
Yeah, but I just think it's a little too early.
He looks like
too early.
He looks like a beat up guy.
He looks like a guy coming off an ACL. What they look like. They're slow. They're different. They're not ready.
We'll get to more on that, Rob Gronkowski, and how he's looked so far. Coming up after we go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
And as we go behind enemy lines tonight to learn a little bit more about the Kansas City Chiefs, we have on the line joining us from Kansas City, Therese Paler, the lead beat writer for the Kansas City Star. He joins us now on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here in Foxborough. It's Mark, Paul, and Andy. Therese, thanks for the time.
Yeah, no problem. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. Looking forward to a Monday night battle tonight. I'm just curious, Therese, what's the overall atmosphere there in Kansas City? Is this being looked at as maybe an opportunity for the Chiefs to make a big statement on a national stage?
I think that's absolutely the case. I mean, right now the Chiefs are 1-2. They had a really bad start to the season, kind of an embarrassing showing against the Tennessee Titans, a team that doesn't look very good right now. But they've gotten better. They look better the last 2 weeks. Thought they looked really good against Denver. They almost won that game. And then they really kind of put it all together against Miami last week in a 34-15 win. Secondary played good. Pass rush was there. Running game looked good. Offensive play calling was there. That's the kind of performance it's going to take if they hope to beat New England tonight.
You mentioned the pass rush, and obviously on the other side, that's sort of been the topic here in New England. Tom Brady's mm-hmm. been hit a lot, sacked a lot.
Right.
Looks like there could be couple new starters, rookie starters on the offensive line tonight at center and right guard. Has that been a topic this week in terms of Houston and Ali and Poe and those guys wanting to get after Tom Brady and sort of licking their chops a little bit?
I mean, you guys are pretty aware of this. I mean, NFL teams ain't necessarily giving strategy away, but I can tell you this. You know, this is I've watched it for the last year now. I mean, this is a team that believes in getting pressure on the quarterback, and they're actually pretty good at it. Look, Haleh's one of the best at his position. Houston's even better than Haleh is, in my opinion. Poe's pretty decent at pushing the pocket. I mean, they've got guys that can get after the quarterback, and you know, I think it's something that they try to do every week. But when you've got an older quarterback like Brady, who's still very good, I mean, I don't buy reports of his demise yet. I mean, I think you got to beat this guy up. You got to try and get after him. But the thing is, you can't just make it obvious because Brady sees everything. So look, I think they're gonna try and disguise things. I think they're gonna mix it up pretty good. And then when it really comes down to it, you know, when it comes down to the big series, you know, they're gonna bring like maybe a few exotic things. Just, you know, they're gonna do whatever they need to do to try and get pressure on this guy, try and rattle him a little bit.
One of the things we're talking about, just judging on the early inactives here, you know, the Patriots are going with just three true wide receivers tonight, and people, some Patriots fans are wondering if maybe that's going to get maybe a guy like Tim Wright, one of their reserve tight ends, the running backs a little bit more involved in the passing game. Does that affect, I mean, how does that affect, you know, some of the stuff you're talking about, Therese, with the pressure that Kansas City likes to put on and the blitzing and the different disguises? Did that force maybe Kansas City to use some of those guys in coverage a little bit more?
Well, I think it's really, really interesting that that's the case for the Patriots, because last week the Chiefs used a ton of three tight end stuff on offense. Just hang with me here. I mean, they did that because their offensive line, frankly, isn't very good. I mean, they used a lot of two tight ends, a lot of three tight ends, right? And it was very effective. It was smash-mouth football. They were lining up, and they were running the ball. They were using play action off that, and then they were kind of exploiting the short passing game with a smart, accurate quarterback. Now, does that sound familiar? I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots tried to give the Chiefs what the Chiefs gave the Dolphins last week. You know, we're going to sit up here, we're going to run the football, and then we're going to get it out quickly. Remember, last week, Alex Smith didn't get the – he didn't attempt to pass over 10 yards last week. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots said, okay – you guys allowed 140 rushing yards last week to Miami against Lamar Miller, who hasn't proven he's a good NFL back yet. And we're going to throw Ridley at you. We're going to throw Vereen at you. And we're going to pound it, and we're going to see how you take that. You know, quite frankly, the Chiefs' run defense needs to be better. If it's not better, that's going to open up the Patriots' entire offense, three wide receivers and all. So I expect it to kind of go that way. I'm kind of interested to see if I'm right.
On the other side of the ball, obviously it's a good sign for the Chiefs to get Jamaal Charles back. But what are you expecting from him? We know those high ankle sprains can be sort of tenuous, and you're back, and then you're off the field again, because he's obviously a game changer for that offense.
Right, and here's the thing. I mean, I'd be surprised if he carries a load tonight. I mean, I think they're going to get him involved early to try and show that he's 100%. But my guess is they'll use him as a decoy, because now Davis could run the ball. He looked pretty good last week. He's a physical guy. He gets upfield quick, strong, powerful. As a runner, he's pretty solid. Just the other areas he needs to improve on. As a receiver, as a blocker. But guess what? Jamaal Charles can do those things pretty good. So I expect there to be a pretty good mix of the two of those guys. I think you're going to see a pretty healthy amount of Nile Davis. And I could be wrong, but I think those guys will complement each other pretty well, and both could potentially have a pretty big impact on what the Chiefs try to do offensively tonight.
Yeah, I know you wrote about Davis this morning, you know, here locally. It appeared in the Boston Globe. This offensive line, you touched on it a little bit earlier. They're a group that's lost some guys from last year, losing another one with a suspension. How is this group, you know, going to be able to keep Alex Smith upright tonight?
Well, I mean, look, I'll just go through the line. I mean, the best guy is center Rodney Hudson. He's a solid NFL center. I mean, he's okay. He's good. I mean, he gets the job done more often than not, right? You got the left tackle, who was the number one overall pick last year, who's still finding his way. You know, he's still not an average NFL left tackle, but he's a whole lot better than he was last year. And you can see the improvement. So he's trying to get there. It's going to take time with that kid. You can tell, like, jumping from a Mac to the NFL is a big jump, you know, and he's learning. You know, the left guard is Mike McGlinn, a guy they got as a free agent a week before the regular season. He hasn't played very well. He's had some bad moments on tape. I think the Patriots are probably going to try and exploit him. You know, the right tackle is Ryan Harris. That's a guy they signed a week, I think, like within a week of training camp or a week before training camp. Either way, like, with the amount of every team needs good tackles, right? So it's never really a good thing when you sign a guy who's starting for you and a week before the season. You get what I'm saying? A week before training camp. Then the right guard is a rookie, Zach Fulton, who's got some talent, but he's picked him to stick around for a reason. He's got some talent, but he's got to develop too. So look, the Chiefs are showing an ability to kind of, showing an ability to scheme around these guys. But I'm really interested to see how Belichick takes advantage of it because he doesn't miss much.
Alex Smith, you mentioned him. It appears that he's gotten better each week as this season has gone on. Still, obviously, an early season here. But what has he done well this year? What has he done poorly this year?
Well, I think his worst game was clearly week one, okay? Through three interceptions. It was more of a downfield kind of game plan that we're not used to seeing from them. It was really like a weird game plan. Like they didn't try to establish the run. They couldn't do it. There just wasn't much ingenuity in the game plan. It was weird to see. It was almost like a preseason game. It was weird to see. But anyway, he didn't look good that week because it was more of a downfield type of game plan. That's not what he does. But the last few weeks, man, he's done a really good job taking care of the ball. This guy knows he doesn't have a ton of time in the pocket. So when guys are coming at him, he's normally one read, two read, then he's scrambling. Hey, and Alex Smith can run a little bit now. He ran the option at Utah. He's still got some juice. He's got some wheels. He can get out of there. So he's done a good job with that. He's done a really good job with their timing stuff, okay? They're just their timing, quick passes. West Coast offense is all about a rhythm. He's all about that. He's good at that. He can do that. He's made good decisions for the most part. So I think he's kind of fulfilled, what Reed asked for in a quarterback. Just if I had to knock the guy, it would be, can we complete a pass downfield at some point? I mean, they're not taking the top off the defense. And again, knowing Belichick, I mean, he takes away what you like to do. So there could be single coverage out there, and receivers and tight ends might have to win one-on-one downfield.
Therese, final question for you. We ask every out-of-town writer that joins us on the show, what's your pick for tonight's game?
I picked the Chiefs to win 28-20. I think they're looking better, man. I think they're looking better. They got the home field advantage. That's the first time Monday Night Football has been here 4 years. I mean, it's going to be rocking here. It's going to be rolling here. These fans are charged up. They're ready to go. This team is charged up. This is a chance for them to go 2-2, to improve the 2-2 and reset the season. You go 2-2. You're feeling pretty good after the first quarter of the season. 1-3, you're in a hole you probably don't get out of with the schedule. Huge game for these guys, prime time, Monday night. I'm giving the edge to the Chiefs, but I could easily see it go the other way.
All right, Therese Paylor joining us here on the program. Thanks for the time. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right,
thank you.
Care. Therese Paylor joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts. That's Patriots a rarity, pregame Beetle. Social. I like it. I like his style.
It's unbelievable. He likes it. Why
I
do you like
his
it?
Style.
What is there to like?
You know why? Because it's boring when every one of these writers comes on and says, oh, I'm
it is. And we all sort of perked up when he
like
made the
it.
Pick. You're
I
right.
I like it. Good
You're
for
right.
him.
Because every guy that we have on in general picks against his
against
team.
Their team. This guy's going
has a brain and knows the Patriots generally win 12 or 13 games a year. And if he wants to be right, he's got a good chance.
All right, Andy. That's enough from you.
Well, you'd like to see the four or five times that the Patriots lose that the other team's writer actually predicts it. But it never happens.
Just a really, I know you're supposed to be the Bledsoe guy, and you should probably make this comment. Drew looks really good with the, whatever they
salt
call
and pepper.
That, the salt and pepper.
It's got a little gray coming
it
in.
Makes a little silver look, fox going on there.
It makes him look pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, if I were the sarcastic Patriots fan, I don't have audio. I'm just watching in the background while that guy was talking. But he was at the vineyard, and he was
massaging the grapes.
Well, he squeezed the seed out and then sucked on it. And I was like, not the first time I've seen Bledsoe suck grapes. Sorry, got to go.
That's not even a little funny. I mean, I was waiting for something that
funny.
Was interesting.
Yeah. True.
I just want to say thank you to Drew Bledsoe for changing the laws in this state. I don't know if you guys know that.
Did they finally get it through?
Importing
it actually passed.
The importing of wine?
They included it in the state budget, which was done back in the summer, like beginning of July.
I didn't realize that it had gone through. I had a listener be nice enough to actually get me a bottle of Drew Bledsoe wine.
What couldn't you get that you wanted to get?
I want to get some Drew Bledsoe wine.
Oh, that's what this is about?
Yeah, you get it shipped right to your door now.
You're a big wine drinker?
I've dabbled in the wine. No, actually, I actually do.
Because it's pretty high-end, isn't it?
It's a decent amount of wine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
The problem is, though...
I have an autographed bottle.
I've been kind of on this run at home with my wife being pregnant and having children that I'm kind of alone in this. So there hasn't been a lot of wine drinking going on, So we've been kind of out of commission
for
a couple of years.
Whining about not being able to drink
wine.
Where's my wine? Where's my wine? You have an autograph one?
I do. A listener was kind enough to get me a bottle.
That's pretty special.
He bought a case of it.
Yeah, and he got me a bottle, and he said, you know, do you know who this is for? This is for the PFW. And he signed one.
There you go.
Which is really, really
but
nice.
Now you can get wine shipped directly
but
to
he
your
brought
door
it, yeah,
starting
he brought it to me because
January
he, couldn't
1st.
He couldn't ship it, so the guy actually brought it to me.
January 1st, Paul. You okay. can start shipping wine into this state. All now, because of Drew
it?
Bledsoe.
Is it good?
I haven't had it. Is
oh.
it?
It's. You think I,
they were here at some point doing
I
a tour.
It?
And I want to say they even had an event at one of the bars up here and everything.
Now, this is priceless. LeBron James just tweeted. He doesn't tweet that often. LeBron James just tweeted within the last minute, hey, Drew Bledsoe. Just saw your special with Rick Riley. I want to try your wine out as well. Looks great. Can you ship it to Ohio?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty damn cool, right?
Yeah.
LeBron James.
LeBron James's Will McDonough just tweeted.
Well, I don't care who tweeted it.
It doesn't matter. It came from LeBron James. LeBron James wants some Drew Bledsoe wine.
No, I think his lackey wants some Drew Bledsoe wine.
Get the man some
wine. You don't think LeBron James said, hey, make sure you get me some of that?
Not necessarily.
No, I would. That's the way I would think those things work.
Just like I don't think Brady knew that his resume and his, you know.
Oh,
photo
no, that's different. I don't think.
See,
that.
I think Brady did know about the resume.
Oh,
yeah.
I think that he might have.
He was moving.
I think he may have known about it.
He doesn't move.
He was moving. No,
the
no,
person
wait a
was
Hold
moving
on.
Him.
Andy, we're going to have this debate right now.
I don't think it's appropriate
right
time.
Now. Right now. Okay, listen. When you move, even if you don't move your boxes yourself, if someone else moves for you and you hire a moving company, which we know Tom Brady has, you're telling me that he's not the one that unpacks his personal papers?
No.
He
personal has, papers
has
and
someone
popping
else
peas?
Deal with his personal papers?
No, I don't think he does.
Well,
I think he has somebody else deal with just about everything.
I think when you're moving and you're putting things into drawers and shelves and all that crap,
but you don't think
you
that
might
someone,
come across your own.
You don't think
oh,
someone
look at this.
Saw that and went to him and said, hey, this is pretty cool. We should put this on your Facebook page.
I guess.
There's no way.
I don't
want to
ruin
no
like
way.
The little mystique.
Hold on.
Thing,
I don't
guys.
Think that's ruining everything. He said,
I think there's
he
no
said
way.
It in his press conference that he's not exactly the social media king, which was telling everybody, I'm not really responsible for putting this stuff up there. But I find it
See,
hard to believe that stuff is getting posted without his knowledge.
There's no
consent.
Way his resume was posted without him
without
knowing
his consent.
About it prior. Right. Exactly, Paul. Exactly. And
so
not only
I don't
that,
care that he didn't find the resume. If someone else found it and said, hey, this is kind of cool, Tom. We should put this up.
I think he's downplaying the fact, oh, I'm no social media king. I think he's downplaying it because I think he knows what's going up on that page prior to it going up.
Oh, I think he knows that it's going
yeah.
up. I just don't think
he
has
he
anything
might not
to do with it.
He probably doesn't do it himself. He doesn't
right.
log in and
upload
it.
And I don't think
it.
It's his idea to do it.
But he knows about it.
But I think he knows about it because
I think
otherwise people would be
getting in
trouble.
I think we're on the same page here, Paul. I think we're on the same page.
Well, that's generally the case.
Yeah. I'm going to deal with this guy over here, though.
He just gave an unbelievably scoffing
He's
look.
He's angry about it. Whatever, Andy. Deal with it, man. 855-PATS-500. That's the
Looks
phone
like that
number.
That beard's back pretty full, huh?
Oh, yeah. Who's that?
Brady.
Oh, Brady.
Yeah, it is
guy,
back
guy we're
good.
Talking about.
But he hasn't done the thing where he trims yeah. the like the chin so it really looks like an ass and all that yet. No, he hasn't done that.
He's got that divot there in his yeah. Chin there. Yeah, yeah, maybe he's had some work done. I don't know. Maybe he could
get... Have you read that?
No. I just, oh. things you hear.
Well, he does, you know, rotate in those Hollywood circles.
I mean, he is in the group of people that do have work done, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Those type of people.
Yeah, those, the Hollywood types. Frank's in California.
This
Speaking
guy.
Of Hollywood, let's go to California and talk to Frank.
Hey, guys, can you hear me clearly?
We can hear you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Perfectly clear, Frank.
All right, guys. Love everything you do. Listen to everything you produce and read all the articles. First and foremost, I want to channel my inner Chester here. My wife, she loves you. She wants you to know that she's your hottest Patriots fan. She's a Playboy model. So she listens to all your radio shows as well. I just want to get into the game real quick. I think it's being overlooked, the matchup between coaches. I think Andy Reid on the primetime stage characteristically makes mistakes. He usually does some rinky-dink trick play that backfires in his face and very poor clock management.
I totally agree with that last point.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. His clock management is abysmal. I agree with you.
Oh, terrible. And Monday night could only be even worse. I am concerned about a run defense with Salinga out. I think they have two stud running backs over there. It is a concern, but it is the elephant in the room, and we know that, so we can key on that. Other than that, I think it's Monday night, looking for a bust-out game by Ridley, looking for Brady to, you know, be flawless tonight, maybe not 300 yards, but a good solid 230 with three touchdowns, hopefully. Getting that kind of night, a little breakout night here. I am concerned about the line, but I think maybe we can channel some of that old Charlie Weiss with the fake screen to the left, the spin-around screen to the right type thing. Other than that, just want to tell you guys, love everything you do. Keep it up. You guys are the best thing out there.
Wow, Frank, it's very nice of you to say all these things. Appreciate it.
Send a photo of your wife.
That Andy Reid clock management
thing. His wife really a play-by model, you think?
Why?
Oh, webradio at patriots.com.
You think Tom Brady puts everything up on Facebook, so why can't I think that guy's wife is
not what he
totally
said.
Totally different.
Not what he said. The Andy Reid thing is really, really – his clock management – he gets flustered with timeouts and clock management unlike any successful head coach I've ever seen.
You would think by now that he would have someone else on his staff who's, like, great at managing the clock. Right? Like, okay, what do
you
I
would
do?
Acknowledge your own weaknesses.
Right. Now, like, I don't think the stage has anything to do with it.
He's been screwing this thing up forever, Andy. Like – have someone
yep
there.
He's
have
bad,
one of
he's
your
bad at it.
Have an assistant that, you know, focuses on, okay, how are we going to manage the clock here? And have the assistant tell you, okay, what do you want? What do we need to do now? And have him tell you. Because clearly you are not good at managing it, which I think is one of his flaws as a head coach. I think
agree.
Generally speaking, though,
he's a very good head coach, but he's not a great one because of that.
Because of that.
Another thing he brought up, Nile Davis.
Yes.
I'm not
overrated.
Yeah, I'm not overly worried about him.
No, nope.
Less than 4 yards a carry.
If Charles can't play, then I'm not that worried about
less
him.
Less
than Charles
4 yards
can play,
a carry.
I'm worried.
I think he's a good backup is what he is.
I am not someone to rant about fantasy's impact on the game because generally speaking, I like fantasy football. But Nile Davis, I'm sorry, is because people picked him up on their fantasy team and they're like, oh, they got Nile Davis behind him.
Is that why?
Yeah.
Is he a, what's that called, Paul?
Handcuff?
Handcuff back?
Yes, he is.
Look at just, me knowing
but that's
that,
what it is. Like, people pick him up on the waiver wire, and now it's like, well, they got Nile Davis behind. Who is Nile Davis?
Well, I think he had 130 yards last week,
yeah,
but he's not he's not Jamaal Charles. He's a pedestrian back. He's a good backup is what he is. And he also fumbles. So I think if he gets another 25-plus carries, I think the Patriots have a good chance to take the ball away. I think he's a little loose with the football. And Charles is the key. Charles is a special player. And I agree with Andy. A high ankle sprain. Hasn't been out that long. I would find it awfully difficult to believe that he is close to 100%.
Maybe
it's I don't think you're going to see the real Jamaal Charles.
But he can affect a game at
anything.
You know, everybody's into snap totals and carries. He could get 10 touches and affect a game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Debbie in Tennessee writes in, I bet you Zell and Tom both unpack moving boxes. They are down to earth.
Did she say Zell?
Oh, that's the kind of laugh I think that Fred doesn't want
Giselle
to do
and
anymore.
Tom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was just me shortening it up because I was, you know, not speaking clearly.
Yeah,
that's from Debbie in Tennessee.
Yeah, I think that she had the sarcasm meter on there, and
I do too.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you well aware of Debbie's sort of angle and character? She is a starch. Is it starcher? Defender. Stark? Whatever that phrase is.
Staunch?
Staunch.
I was like, what? I had no idea what you were trying to say.
He went to Tufts.
I'm on cold medicine.
Did you graduate from Tufts?
Hell yeah.
That's impressive.
Of Giselle.
Because it's you.
He does not. She does not allow for any criticisms of Giselle and mocking of Giselle. She doesn't care for it.
None.
No, she doesn't care for it.
Well, Debbie also wrote, having to work late, so I'm glad I can tune you guys into the show while I'm working. I am cautiously optimistic, but as Andy said, it's also evidence of how any little change can get us excited, talking about the offensive line.
Right.
And we can't get much worse. I am hoping Tom gets protection tonight and Gronk gets more touchdowns. Go Pats.
Like, we're actually excited. There is a group of fans that are excited that Brian Stork is starting.
I'm in the group. Count me in, Andy, because
as
I said off the top, it can't get much worse. It's good to try something different. It's good
to
try something new.
Just let me use this at the risk of being devil's advocate on the way negative side.
Oh, well.
Okay?
Okay.
He appreciates that.
Devil's advocate.
I mean, he all of a sudden perked up again.
It's right down his...
We keep saying it can't get worse. And I'm with Beadle in that I would be making a change. But ostensibly, this is a coaching staff that really, really knows what it's doing. Okay? Can we agree that Bill Belichick knows what he's doing?
No doubt.
Ostensibly,
okay?
They know what they're doing.
These are the guys that they thought were better than the guys that weren't playing to start the season. And now we're all of a sudden saying, it can't get any worse. Well, what has been the reluctance to sort of turn it over to Stork the last couple of weeks? Is it just because he wasn't healthy?
Yes.
Just because they
the
didn't feel like
missed.
he was ready?
They felt like he wasn't ready.
Because, you know, if Cameron Fleming was so much better than Jordan Devey, I find it hard to believe that he wasn't playing.
There's no question they were dead wrong on Jordan Devey. They thought he was something he hasn't been able to perform at that level of. Right?
Certainly.
I mean, the
by
others,
what I've seen, I haven't seen.
You can say they didn't think Fleming was ready. You can say they thought Stork missed too much time, but Devey, they just swung and missed, it would appear, correct? I mean, there's no other really way to look at that, I don't think.
Right, and there's not that much, you know, in terms of experience. So Devey was here squad last year, but, you know, he has no discernible playing experience with the Patriots. So why, you know, was he considered to be so much further ahead?
I just think it's funny. Like, in Kansas City, Tom Brady's been beat up more than ever, and he's going to just straddle up to the line. Who the bleep is this guy in front of me? Who the bleep is that guy next to
him? Hey, at least he's not Jordan Devey.
Why is Conley over there?
And what the hell is going on out here?
Time out.
We put out the number for...
Tom, you haven't started yet.
We put out the number for Australia, and we have a response. Our buddy James in Australia is up next on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. James.
Hey, guys. Happy Tuesday morning football.
Good day, mate.
Yeah, so
it's TMF.
I just saw the inactives, and
it's not good.
They just reached Australia.
I've been out for a run this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Big head and, yeah.
So, are you excited about the advent of the Stork and Fleming era, or are you unhappy at the sight of seeing your two receivers from a year ago, who were supposed to be the focal point of the offense, inactive?
Is it possible to sit on the fence for this one and say I'm happy for Stork and disappointed for Dobson?
Yeah, but to me, the Dobson one is the one where you, okay, you got a center. This team's always had a center. Remember 4 years ago they had four centers or whatever it was? But your second-round pick, second-year receiver, who's supposed to be the future of the offense, is inactive again.
I know. I was actually really disappointed because going through the draft process, I'm studying sports journalism at the moment, and I'd getting some experience writing, and I picked Dobson to the Patriots in the third round, so I've had an extra bit of investment in him hopefully being good.
Yeah, but it's not even just the not being good, it's why is he not even in the mix for a team that needs people to be in the mix and can't find that? That's the thing that worries me, that I'd rather see him out there and drop passes and not get open.
At least we'd have something tangible to point to say, well, that's why Brady's not going on.
But it seems like, I know last year he was a rookie and he had mistakes, but when he was out on the field, he actually seemed to be able to do something, which is more than what certain other receivers have been able to do. Amendola.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right, James.
Quick question about the defense. I know we're probably going to get a bit of a 4-3, 3-4 mix, but I can't help but think 3-4 is a good lineup. To try and stop the running game. Basically, you get Jones and Hightower or Ninkovich setting the edge, going one-on-one with the tackles and just funneling everything into the fat guys in the middle.
Yeah. No, I mean, those guys have to set the edge. You can't give up the edge to a guy like Charles because, as I said, one or two plays where he gets the edge and all of a sudden those are big chunks of yards. But to me, it's about, and I know I've kind of beaten this dead horse a couple weeks now, like, those linebackers, and I'm including Ninkovich and Jones, that's now the heart of this defense. Yes, Will Fork is up front, but it just really feels like to me that group of line, you're going to live and die when you have good weeks from Hightower and Jones and Mayo and Call. You're going to have good weeks on defense. And when you have bad weeks, my guess is some of that bad had to do with them not getting after the passer or them not covering or them not tackling. I think you're going to go as that group goes, basically, on defense.
And I do agree with you. I think, James, you'll see a lot of both kind of looks. And it'll be interesting what they do without Salinga because they've had him next to Vince. Vince has been pushed out to end a little bit with Salinga over the nose. And I don't think they have anybody else that's big enough to do that. So is it going to be Villano and Jones with Vince on the nose? Or, you know, how do they change that up? That'll be one of the things to watch tonight.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. We're going to take our final timeout, and coming back, we'll go inside the press box with Eric Scalavino.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more.
Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Have a prediction for today's game? Let us know about it on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email your prediction to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Mark, Andy, and Paul on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Dunkin' Donuts' new dark roast coffee is here. Celebrate National Coffee Day today with a free medium hot dark roast coffee from Dunkin'. Mark your calendars for September 29th. As I said, that's today. America runs on Dunkin'. Limit one per customer. Let's go Are we ready to talk to Eric? Are we ready to go? Let's go inside the press box.
Yeah, yeah.
At Arrowhead.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Let's go to Arrowhead Stadium. On the line from Kansas City is Eric Scalavino. Good evening, Eric.
Hey, fellas. This stadium is beautiful. Let me just say that right off the bat. I've heard a lot of great things about how loud this place is, but it's also like really incredibly beautiful from an aesthetic standpoint. And for an old stadium, this place, I know it's been renovated, but it's a fabulous venue.
You want to marry it?
You want us to give you a minute?
You need a napkin?
Well, no, but...
All right, now let's get to the talk of the day.
Chandler Jones, nose tackle.
No, not Chandler Jones.
Okay.
The offensive line, we're just going to throw a couple rookies to the sea of wolves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks that way from pregame warm-ups. As we kind of speculated all week, Ryan Stork maybe getting a start, it looks like from warm-ups that's going to be the case, that the fourth-round pick is going to be starting at center. Dan Connolly, who was playing right guard, got left guard reps during warm-ups, and the other rookie, Cameron Fleming, who has been your tackle-eligible guy for the first three games or so, was getting right guard action in these warm-ups. So the experiment continues. We'll see if they can hold up under this intense pressure and ear-splitting noise that we're expecting tonight at Arrowhead.
I'm even more interested than the lineup. I'm interested in what they're going to do tonight. Obviously, one of the big stories is both Tompkins and Dobson inactive, don't have a lot of receivers active. And then you'd say, okay, they're going to run the ball against a team that gives up 5.1 a carry. Well, when they ran the ball earlier in the year, that had Fleming as your extra tight end. Have you seen any indication of any of these jumbo packages or heavy sets? And if so, is Cannon going to be a tight end, or what are we doing there?
No, they didn't show anything of that sort in warm-ups. What they had were two receiver sets with Amendola and Edelman on, split wide on either side. They had a tight end. They had your guy, Andy, Jimmy Devlin, in the backfield with Stephen Ridley in the shotgun with Brady. That's what I was seeing for the most part in the few warm-up reps that they took in team versus the defense.
Well, then defensively, we have another week here with no Alphonso Dennard, which I think is disappointing in terms of a lot of us expected he would take this month to maybe separate himself from the pack and take that starting job.
Andy, just sorry to interrupt you there, but he was also listed as probable.
Correct.
In the report, and was, surprised to me, really surprisingly downgraded to out last night.
Beetle thinks he may have slept wrong on the shoulder.
Well, that can't be any more surprising than when he missed the game when he wasn't on the injury report at all.
Eric, you ever sleep wrong on your shoulder? It hurts.
I try not to. But if you do it right.
At least this week he didn't travel, correct? Last time it was apparently a bumpy flight to Minnesota when he got hurt.
Yeah,
the last time it was a game time decision. But this time the team arrived and instantly announced that he was out, and I was really taken aback by that because, like I said, he'd been listed as probable, he'd been practicing. So I share your.
They know Alex Smith doesn't throw the ball more than 10 yards downfield. That's so they don't.
But in his stead, in the warmups, Logan Ryan was taking the reps on the right cornerback side opposite Terrell Revis.
In our last week without Brandon Browner, well, maybe.
Maybe
our last week without Brandon Browner. Anything else catch your attention? Weather, crowd, and just any of the other news and notes from the press box?
The crowd is just starting to filter in now, so we haven't really had a chance yet to hear the legendary noise level. We did see, however, Fred Kirsch and I on the way up to the press box did see the guy from the Guinness Book of World Records who's here tonight trying to see if this crowd can break the noise level record for a sporting event or whatever the category is.
Outdoor stadium.
Now, how did you know he was the guy from the Guinness Book of World Records?
Interesting question. He had what looked like one of those college rowing blazers with a little white accent on the lapels, and he had a little patch, a little round patch that said Guinness Book of World Records.
Brilliant!
That's exactly the kind of thing it looked like. It was pretty funny.
Fred would have seen that guy.
He did. He nudged me and pointed him out to me and yelled it. But the weather here today has been really warm, unseasonably warm, clear skies, not a hint of of any sort of precipitation.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Yeah, precipitation.
And the field looks like it's in fabulous condition. So they can't blame the weather for anything that may or may not go wrong.
They got any ribs in the press box there, Eric?
There was some good barbecue in the press box. Yes, there was. And some lemonade, which is fantastic as well. As Fred said to me earlier, you can't be mad at anybody when you're drinking lemonade. That's the quote of the night.
I'll give Fred a couple hours.
That's pretty good.
What the hell is it? Yeah, exactly. If this game unfolds like some people are predicting, he'll be mad and drinking lemonade.
All right, Eric, did you have a pick for this game?
I did.
Yeah.
And I'm going with history, which says that it's really tough to play here at Arrowhead for a visiting team. And with all of the disruptions that have been going on this offensive line, I'm going to go with the home Chiefs to win this game tonight.
All right, Eric. Thanks
Tell
for
Jackie
your time.
I said hi in my female British voice. I don't even know what that is.
Okay. I'll see you guys.
Good night, Mike.
Bye, Eric. See you later.
Governor.
Governor.
Did you see Ryan Tannehill did his press conference? He opened with, hello.
No, he
Who did that?
Ryan Tannehill.
Hello. Over in London.
That's pretty good.
Especially in a week when, like, you know, he's tumultuous and turmoil and all that crap.
Yeah, Joe Philbin is self-destructing there in Miami.
Well, the good news is for the Patriots, whether they win or lose tonight is irrelevant.
Yeah, no, and their
every other team
brutal.
In the division is benching their quarterback either this week or next week. So it doesn't matter how much you suck. I continue to say you could win this division at 7-9.
It's not that far from the truth. I would think you'd need to be more like 8-8. But
I know I was being a little dramatic.
Yeah, and I know that
you
Andy,
get my point.
I mean,
yeah,
but
and
Andy,
I know that Andy's point.
The
is
division
also...
is so bad this year. It's so
this
freaking
year?
Bad. No, listen. I'm
it's
saying,
the same story.
Relative
the other teams
to other
don't
years.
Have coaches and quarterbacks.
It's
correct.
Just the way it goes. We need to do this, even though it's not a Sunday six pack. It's more like a Monday night 40.
This is like a big old 40.
Yeah, let's play this.
Nothing like cracking open a six pack. Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday six pack.
Maybe it could be a one pack, a nice bottle of wine, Drew Bledsoe. You know that's expensive?
Bottle of double back.
It's $100.
Is that how much it is?
$100 a bottle.
I'll pay it. For Drew Bledsoe wine, I'll pay it.
Why? Like, that makes no sense to me.
Freaking Drew Bledsoe. That's why.
Not to me, because I'm not a wine drinker, but if I were, I would want good wine.
The reviews.
Right.
Wait,
how do you know
it's good? Hold on. The reviews on his wine.
Just because you charge money doesn't mean it's good.
Have been amazing. Like,
who reviews it? Did you snifter
Google it? Google it. You can find reviews online.
You've actually done a lot of research.
I've looked into the double back wine. I have.
You have a bit of a problem.
No, it's not a problem. I'll tell you, I used to like think wine, like if you drank wine, like, oh, come on, you tool. What are you doing drinking the wine? Then you get into it a little bit and you're like, wow, this is great. Now I get why everyone's drinking wine.
Oh, you're such a tool.
Yeah.
You're right.
Oh, it's great. It's great stuff.
White or red?
Red.
Oh, I hate red wine.
Red. So here's a story. Kevin Collins, our producer, who normally produces this program.
Idiot!
Is
always an idiot.
Is at the game tonight. So he is not with us tonight.
We still can't figure out why.
Sex doing a hell of a job there.
And he's taking
in.
Photos from field level of James Devlin and sending them to me.
So he leaves the sheet here for the Sunday six-pack of the games we should pick and what our records are. And he includes yesterday's games. He put five games on the sheet that he was like, oh, here, pick these games on for this week.
Now you understand why I call him a bleeping moron.
Kev, it's a Monday night game. You know this.
No, he doesn't. He's a bleeping moron.
Oh, my. So here's our records. Here's the standings.
This is just a business.
Also bleeping morons.
Last week, Andy went 2-4. Paul went 1-5. I went 2-4. Here are the standings. In first place, tied.
Playing the role of the Patriots leading the division.
King of the dip blips.
Tied for first place, Andy and myself at 5-14.
Woohoo! First place.
Paul is 4-15. He's in last place in the league.
That's loser.
Unbelievable. I won four games in 3 weeks.
That is so bad. That is so bad.
Yeah, you stink.
So the opposing beat writers so far 1-1 with their picks, and Therese Paler, who was on with us earlier, picked Kansas City in this game. But here is what we were picking for the Sunday six pack, which is a Monday pack.
We played three games. How are they only 1-1?
Oh, because one of them did not get his pick.
We didn't have a writer.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have a writer last week.
No,
Oakland was so bad they didn't even have a writer.
And
they all declined the opportunity. Here's what it is.
Just watching all the moving lights in the background on
I mentioned this earlier to Andy. If you're watching ESPN Monday Night Countdown, they have this stupid set now because ESPN redid all their sets. But all the lights in the fake buildings in the set go on and off.
And like to make I didn't really notice it until he said something. Now I find it very distracting.
It's so distracting.
Yeah.
So here's what we're picking. We're picking this line on the sheet, which is New England by 3.5. I will go first. I am taking Kansas City.
I am taking New England 24-13. Gronk scores twice, and he's the reason they win.
I have a little bit tighter game, but I have the Patriots winning as well, 24-19. I think it's very similar in style to last week, only a little bit more scoring, and a late turnover like was the case last week decides the game.
So there you have it. There are the picks. We're going to be back here post-game.
Fans didn't seem all that confident. I'm not going to lie to you.
Out of nine of the ESPN so-called experts have Kansas City in this one.
And
so this is one of those games that after the Patriots win, we can take calls and you can actually say with accuracy that most of the people picked against the Patriots.
We
say that
Patriots fans.
We say that every week, but this week it'll be accurate.
We have a lot of concerned callers.
There's a lot of people picking the Patriots, but there's a lot of people picking Kansas City in this one too.
It's a losable game.
It's a losable game.
That's what I
agree.
I would say.
I'll take the Cowboys over the Saints.
Can we run down those games?
That'll improve my record.
No, we're not doing that.
If we all go 5-for-5.
Unfortunately, I'll still only go 5-1.
Thank you for joining us here in the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We'll be back after the game for the Xbox One postgame show here on Patriots.com. Make sure you join us then. We will go into the wee hours of the night talking about this game, Monday Night Football, Patriots, Chiefs. We'll talk to you then.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now, it's game time as the Pats square off with the Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
It's tight formation. Quick hitter, Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com radio for the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. New England Patriots.
Brady in the pocket. Tom fires toward the end zone, and a tumbling grab is made. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski!